Unit 4, page 38, exercise 2.
A. Food, A Brief History, by Jane Purley. Humanity's search for solutions to the age-old problem of where and how to access nutritious and varied food is a history stretching back to our early ancestors. Here are a few key stages in that story. 1. Meat. Meat was a rarity in the diet of the earliest humans because it was both hard to acquire and difficult to eat. To solve the second problem, humans started to use stones as tools to cut their meat into small pieces that could be swallowed, and to get to the nutritious marrow inside animal bones. The result of this tool use was a higher protein content in their diet. These early humans had smaller brains than we do now, but gradually, with more protein, human brain size increased. This, in turn, led to more sophisticated tools and hunting weapons. Meat made humans smart. 2. Cooking. Eating raw food was a slow business. Early humans probably spent about 6 hours chewing food each day, like chimpanzees today. According to scientist Richard Wrangham, chewing time decreased considerably when humans learned to control fire and use it for cooking. And this allowed us to focus on other activities. It turned out that we could get more energy from cooked food than from raw food too. An egg, for example, provides 3 grams of digestible protein when raw, but nearly 6 grams after cooking. 3. Agriculture. Humans lived a hunter-gatherer lifestyle for hundreds of thousands of years. But around 12,000 years ago, we started turning our hands to farming. Agriculture made food much more plentiful. This allowed towns and cities to develop and the human population to increase. As the human population grew, there were efforts to increase the amount of food that the land could produce. The biggest advances came in the 20th century. Thanks to fertilizers and chemical pesticides, we can now produce more than 3 times the food that we could on the same farmland in the 19th century. 4. Food preservation. Early food preservation techniques, such as salting, smoking, and sun-drying, have been supplemented by modern solutions. Refrigerators, freezers, and chemical preservatives have gone a long way to increase the healthy variety in people's diets because food can be transported longer distances and be eaten throughout the seasons. 5. Future developments. Human ingenuity has solved many of the challenges of our food supply. However, the ultimate goal has so far eluded us: sufficient and nutritious food for all humanity. This is the challenge for future generations.
B. Was Hunter-Gathering Good for Us? By Sajid Kapoor. Traditionally, we have told the human story as one of progress, from a time when we lived like wild beasts, with danger and adversity at every turn, to one where we enjoy all the comforts and pleasures of a civilized life. Recently, however, scientists have been questioning this narrative. Certainly, our success as a species has come at a terrible cost to the planet. In agriculture, for example, the use of chemical fertilizers and pesticides has largely succeeded in feeding a growing population, but, as an unintended consequence, has destroyed countless habitats and made thousands of species extinct. Even the transportation and refrigeration of our food contributes hugely to global warming. However, let's ignore humanity's damage to the environment for a moment and consider whether turning our backs on our hunter-gatherer origins has been good, not for the planet, but for ourselves. Studies of human skeletons produce interesting results. It seems that early agricultural people were able to have more children than their hunter-gatherer ancestors due to the greater quantity of food available. However, they suffered from many more diseases. By other measures too, life in today's developed world compares unfavorably with that of a hunter-gatherer tribe. A study of the Jiuquanxi people of southern Africa in the 1960s found that they spent about 17 hours a week finding food and 19 on domestic chores, such as cooking and cleaning. The hunter-gatherers had 15 more hours per week to relax than the average adult in the US today. The Jiuquanxi also did well in terms of nutrition. Their 2,300 calories a day was very close to the recommended amount and avoided all the problems associated with obesity in developed countries. They accessed a healthy variety of food, from the meat of porcupines, kudu, wildebeests, and elephants, to 125 species of edible plant. And they were so confident that they could find food in all seasons that they never felt the need to build up a surplus. Their environment was like a well-stocked supermarket, but entirely organic. We have come too far now to turn back the clock, but perhaps progress isn't all it's cracked up to be.